I welcome all of you this morning to our service. We are on a journey. I don't know if you think of your life as being on a journey or not, but there's a time we were born, and until the Lord comes again, there'll be a time when we will pass away like Brother David did. What happens in between is somewhat of a roller coaster ride, I think, for most of us. There are ups and downs. There are challenges along the way, and none of us know the future. We have a lot of recollection of the history, of the past, but if you're like me, we don't know what the day will bring forth. My father used to say that many times. We never know what a day brings forth. This past week has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride for our family. We've had some ups and downs and some encouraging times, but we've had some discouraging moments too. And I suppose that's the norm for most of us. If I know most of us here, I don't know if anyone would raise their hand if I asked you, have you lived the perfect life thus far? Has everything gone your way and the way you planned, the way you hoped for, and the way you expected? But I don't suppose it'd be too many hands would go up. We do live in quite challenging times. I'm not sure. I don't think we sing this song. I don't think it's in our songbook, but the words, tested and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though they're in the wrong. That's hard to understand sometimes, isn't it? Often when death has taken our loved ones, leaving our homes so lone and so drear, then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful to death, saith our loving master, short is our time to labor and wait. Then will our toiling seem to be nothing when we shall pass into the heavenly gate. Soon we will see our dear Savior, hear the last trumpet sound through the sky. Then we will meet those gone before us. Then we shall know and understand why. The refrain, further along we'll know more about it. Further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, my sister. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it by and by. My message this morning is a message of exhortation. As Reverend already mentioned, be sound in the faith. Be sound in the faith. We live in trying times, this somewhat discouraging times. The foundation of our country are being attacked left and right. The ACLU, organization for the separation of church and state, a lot of effort is being put forth. A lot of money and lobbying is put forth to try to stamp God out of our lives, out of the psyche of our nation. And yet that's what our nation was really founded upon, it, a belief in a creator God who has given inalienable rights, freedoms to us. And of course, we are called to be responsible people. And that's the challenge of the Christian church. How are we living? Are we living responsibly? Do we know why we're here? We have an enemy. An enemy who's out to deceive us. An enemy who's out to destroy, derail us, and do all he can to thwart our effort to live like God wants us to live. I was disappointed this week. Because the state of Arizona, again, another state, I believe they passed a law legalizing the gay agenda. I guess what was so discouraging to me is, according to the newspaper, I know we can't believe everything we read in the newspaper, but I understand, according to the newspaper, there are a lot of religious leaders there lobbying for it too. To me, that's discouraging. Then the church is losing its way. There are absolutes, and that's part of my message this morning too. To be sound in the faith implies there is something sound. There is something concrete. And our God is that. His word is truth. It is concrete. And we need to be sure we are anchored in that. Part of my background as I developed this theme this morning, I couldn't help but think of Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know, next to your Bible, I hope we all have read Pilgrim's Progress. Youth, if you don't know what to do with yourself, be sure to read Pilgrim's Progress. Those of you who read it know it's an allegory of life. The main character is Christian, a man called Christian. And he is on the way, he's on a journey, like you and I are. He's on the journey to the celestial city. Of course, sin is his burden he's carrying, and he wants deliverance from that. Sin is a burden to us too, but thank God we know how to find deliverance. But if you recall the account, and I don't have it all memorized, but I remember there's Vanity Fair in there that tempts him. He gets sidetracked and delayed. And along the way, he falls into the pond of despair, I think it is. And so these are obstacles Christian faced in his journey to the celestial city. Keep some of those thoughts from Pilgrim's Progress in your mind as I develop my thought, my theme here of being sound in the faith. Again, this message isn't a message just to you. It's a message to me as well. I need to hear it because our faith, as it gets tested, do we lose out? Do we become discouraged? Or are we hanging in there? The little word B is one letter less than being the smallest word we can make and we can find. And I'd like you just to think a little bit about this word be. It's a constant. It implies that something constant. There's a constancy to it. Consistency. Be. It's a implies a continuation. Ongoing work. Keep on. We often encourage one another, keep on. And I think that's what be is all about. Without interruption, we're going to be, we're in there. There's no interruption. All the time, we are plugged in. We are energized. We are electrified. It's a commitment to 24/7. That's one of our expressions we use today. We are committed to 24/7, that concept. To me, I see it as a commandment. We talked this morning, I believe, already about the Old Testament commandments. Ten Commandments, there's a lot of thou shalt nots in there. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A lot of thou shalt nots. And they're still there. They're still a part of the Christian church. But as I come into the New Testament, I find the challenges of being. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Last Sunday, Dan brought us a message on be not conformed to the world. A bit of a be, but of a negative attached to it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so the New Testament, there's a lot of commandments, a lot of be's, a lot of go's, a lot of do's. And I take these as commandments. I don't know if you think of them that way, but I see them as a commandment from God. They're things we need to be up and about, and some of those words are defined by the being, the doing, and the going. If we're going to be the people of God, we've got to know God's word. We've got to hear God's word, and we have to be responding in obedience, just like the children of Israel did too. Thinking of the word strong, what does strong mean? Be strong in the faith. This word here, I like to think of being stable, concrete. We talk about making sound investments today. Well, what does that mean? It's a reliable, it's safe. We don't have to worry about losing our money, losing our investments. It's solid, it's not depreciating. Instead, it's growing, it's increasing. The value is going up. I think of those thoughts when I think of this concept of being sound, sound in the faith. It's fixed. Our faith is fixed. It's well anchored. It's built upon an excellent foundation. How many foundations can we build on? lot of people are building homes today, building a lot of buildings going up. And 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul says to the Corinthians, other foundation can no man lay. There's only one foundation. That foundation has to be based upon truth. It is firm. Other foundation can no man, can no woman, can no youth, can no government lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. How do we know that? How do we know there is no other foundation? Matthew 3:13. Following Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, Jesus comes out of the water, and there's a voice speaks, and what does it say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We know there's no other foundation because the testimony of God, the Father. If you remember the experience of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain, and he was transfigured before them. I pictured him taking on a vision of what he must look like in his glory today, that David probably, Brother David, sees. He was changed. And there was a voice again spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Again, it's the testimony of God the Father. What else does he say? This is my beloved Son. Two more words. Anybody remember it? Verna? Okay, well, please, but then what? There's two other words. Hear him. Hear him. That's the command for you and I. Hear him. As we read God's word, are we hearing Jesus speak to us? No other foundation we can know for sure because of the Father's testimony. What does Jesus say in Matthew 8:24? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, what does Jesus liken him to? A wise man. What does a wise man do? He builds his house upon a rock. You and I, are we building our spiritual house upon a rock this morning? There's a lot of philosophies out there, a lot of educational thought, you know, as to who man is. And we live in, sad to say, we live in a world today that there are a lot of people don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here. They don't know where they're going. Jesus would call them as lost sheep. You and I are called to build our house, our spiritual house upon the rock, because Jesus is a rock, a sure foundation. Testimony of Jesus further, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know we can have a sound faith because it's built upon Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father, no woman, no individual cometh to God the Father but by me. I think there is within each one of us a desire like Philip expressed in John 14, I think it was. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I think we all have a desire to see God our Father. It sufficeth us. Jesus saying there's no way we're going to see God the Father unless we come through him. He's the only door, the only way. He's the great I am. This morning I ask you a personal question. What is your testimony? If I were to ask you to give your testimony, who are you trying to build your life around? Who are you trying to find meaning in life around? Or what are you living for? Sound in the faith. Stable. Let's be stable Christians. What a great disappointment when we hear and read of someone we knew or know that was on the Christian way, and we hear reports that they're no longer committed to that way. That is really a sad situation. God save all of us. We all have that potential. That's the reason this message is a message for us today. But the challenge is to continue to be the people of God. That there's no turning back. I am not going to turn back. I kind of wanted to start out with an earlier point. We already sang about it. This morning, Jesus saves. How do we get on this journey? The journey of truth, the journey of righteousness, the journey to the celestial city. We must be born again. We must repent. We must turn around to be saved. Romans 10. I think many of us memorize Romans 10, verses 8 and 10. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, which we believe, which we teach. Word of faith. If we believe in our heart that God hath raised, we believe in Jesus. We believe in the life, his death, his resurrection, his intercession even today. Where would we be without that? I don't have the answer to that question. But I believe in a Savior who's interceding for me today yet. He knows all about us. In John, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, these are the words of Jesus. You know how that was. There were fiery serpents among the children of Israel, and they were being bitten and they died. But Moses was told to lift up a serpent, an image of a serpent, and as people looked on it, they were able to be saved. Jesus saying, as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man himself. He must be lifted up, that whosoever looks to him, whosoever believeth in him, he too will not perish, but he's going to experience everlasting life. He that believeth, in verse 36 there, I think it's up there on the wall, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's the call of God for you and I today, to believe in the Son. There is no other way. We all want life. We enjoy life. A new baby is very inspiring to us. Death is not inspiring. It's still not it's not our enemy, because we know Jesus has conquered death. We're going to see our loved ones again. To you and I, we know we've been born again. I trust we have that assurance this morning. I have been born. I follow God's command. I've confessed my sins. I've turned around. I'm a believer in him. I have the assurance that I am saved. We need to have that if we're going to be strong in the faith. We need to possess the assurance that I am a child of God today. Being sound in the faith, we need to be intentional in our living. We live in a world that is so careless. They eat, drink, they're merry. But what are they living for? We need to have goals. We need to live with purpose. And so I challenge you this morning. What are your goals? What are you living for? Who are you trying to mentor? Do you have a goal to mentor, to be an example of the Christian life for others to follow? Somebody follows us. Somebody follows you, the songwriter puts it. You know, what they see, what they do, they might be duplicating it. They might be living, trying to live the way you and I are. So what kind of example are we? Are we an inspirational example? That's the challenge I leave with you, to be an inspirational mentor, be an inspirational challenge of the Christian way. It's the way of joy, it's the way of peace, it's the way of happiness. If we're going to be intentional, I think we have to meditate as we face challenges, as we, especially youth, what does God want me to be with and do with my life? We need to plan, we need to think, we need to meditate. And I think some of the questions we should be asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What is Jesus' counsel for me? What does Jesus think? What would Jesus think? Those are personal questions. I think we all need to stop and reflect on those. Be thou an example of the believers, Paul would encourage us to be. Be an example of the believers. In Philippians 3, verse 8, Paul's goal, Paul's intentional motive behind his living, his life, he says, that I may know him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. I want to know that. I want to experience resurrection power as I face challenges in my life. I want to know that Jesus is there with me, and I can come through those challenges. I'm pressing on the upward way is again a testimony of the songwriter. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward going, you know. I'm pressing on. I am encouraging you this morning as we develop this theme of being strong, being sound in the faith, to keep pressing on. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God. God is calling us. Are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we following? Are we obeying? So I challenge you again, live with purpose. Don't be like a slothful person, careless, unmotivated, lazy. That's a society in which we live. I don't even know if I can pronounce this word, but lazadaisical person. You know, we're just careless. Why do today what we can put off and do tomorrow, you know? There's a lot of inefficiency in our society because of that, you know? Just get done what I have to do. But rather, as a Christian, we need to be purposefully driven. We have the book, you know, The Purpose-Driven Life. What is driving your life? What are you living for? Do we possess a fervent spirit? We're interested in going the extra mile, doing what God expects me to do, be even going beyond maybe what many of our Christian brothers are doing. Are we living up? Are we trying to fulfill God's expectations for us? So live with good intentions, good plans. Be intentional in your living. I think that's part of being sound in the faith. Now, meditating a little bit on the thought of faith. What is faith? Faithful word. The Bible talks about being sound in the faithful word. I don't think we can separate faith from truth. You know, we've got to be faith, possess faith, but what is faith absent of truth? Is there such a thing as trying to have faith in faith, the faith we possess? I don't know. But I'm trusting that we will have faith based upon the Word of God, because we know God's Word, he already said, it's unchanging, it's not changing. Faith to me implies knowing. We know, we're in the know. We are able to differentiate. We know there is a difference between right and wrong. There's a difference between unrighteousness and righteousness. Godliness and ungodliness. We're able to differentiate because we have faith, and that faith defines a lot of these issues of life and the issues we face from day to day. Faith, I think, implies or possesses or has that concept that we are fully persuaded. We are fully persuaded to believe in God like Abraham was. He was fully persuaded that what God promised him, God was going to fulfill it too. And that should be a part of our faith. There are a lot of promises God has made to us. To be with us, to empower us, to be victorious. And we should be fully persuaded. That's a part of our faith. Our faith, we are trusting in Jesus. Our faith, it's Christ-centered. We are centered. What Jesus is looking for in our life. What his word teaches us. We're concerned about those words. We're into our Bible. We are reading. We are working at memorizing. Young people, I would really encourage you, work at memorizing as much scripture as you can. You can reflect and meditate on the scripture without physically having your Bible with you. That has truly been a blessing in my life. Not that I have an awful lot stored in my memory, but I'm really thankful that I worked at that. I went to a public school, a little one-room schoolhouse years ago. We didn't have a lot of spiritual teaching there, but someone came around. I'm not sure who they were from, but we were encouraged back then to memorize scripture. So I put my heart to it because there was a certain prize. We weren't told what it was, I don't think, but and again, I didn't really think I memorized that much, but I was surprised I got the little award. And the little award was a picture. Some of you might have it in your home. It's a picture of the man in his boat at the stern. It's called the stern. In his boat with Christ standing behind him, guiding him, motivating him, and giving him right directions. That little picture has been very inspirational to me as I reflected on my life. Because I wanted God with me. I wanted Christ with me. And as we have his word with us, as we have his word within us, we're going to have that sense of God's presence with us. I am convinced of that. I've experienced that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes, without faith, it is impossible. We need to have that faith in God. That is what's going to help us pass that final test. All things run by that acid test. Are we living by faith? I would have loved to have been here when Jesus was here. I would have loved to have been at Mount of Transfiguration. I would have loved to have been there when he healed people. I would have been loved to have been there when he spoke those, gave that Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Because my Bible records the words, but I don't hear the tone of voice. And that can make a big difference. I would have loved to have been there when he gave some wise counsel and criticism to the scribes and Pharisees of that day. He was really hard on them at time. The words were hard. But I wish I could have been there. I would have loved to have heard the tone of his voice as he came through. Jesus, our good shepherd, he is speaking comforting words to us today. And the ultimate test for you and I is to believe this Bible, to believe in Jesus, to believe in what he said about himself, and to believe what he said about us. We all are sinners. We all need salvation. Thank God he has provided that. Because he's, again, it's a repetition, I know, but we can't repeat too often. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. We're sending many young people to our college today for education. And that I was there. I'm not critical of that. But what kind of education are they getting? How much truth? How much of that teaching is centered around the truth of the Bible? And what man is? Man is a spiritual being. Man is on a journey. And it's sad to me that many of our big universities, the Harvards, Princetons, you name them, many of them were started by Christian churches. And you and I, we might be shocked what the philosophy departments, what the religion departments, sociology departments, psychology departments, some of us would be surprised, I think, as what is being taught in those universities today. Well, we have no control over that. You and I, we can control what is going through our mind, what is going through our heart, and how we're going to respond to it. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe. There are some things we must do in life. I'm not sure about you parents, but when you tell your children that we ask them to do something, you know, must I? A good answer to that, you know, is when you want to, then it's not a must anymore. So children want to do things. Then it's not a must. Those that diligently seek the Lord, seek the truth, seek God's salvation, I can promise you're going to find it. 1 John 5, verse 4. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I like to experience victory. It's not fun to lose, is it, youth? We play games. We all prefer to be the winner, being the winning team. It's not fun to lose. Let me assure you, we are on the winning team. Jesus laid down his life. The victory is there. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's faith in the Word, faith in Jesus' redemption, faith in Jesus' substitutional death. We're the ones that should have died, but Jesus died for us that we might live. It's a faith in his resurrection. It's a faith in his ascension to glory. It's a faith in his intercessory work. It's a faith in his coming again. There are a lot of other words there in that 1 John 5. When you are discouraged, look at 1 John 5. Time and time again, John uses that expression. We know. We know. We know. We can be in the know. I like to be in the know. I like to read the newspaper. I like to know a little bit what's happening in my world. A lot of it might be discouraging, but I like to be in the know. And thank God we can be in the know. I would like to finish with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Finally, folks, when it's all said and done, there's something final. And the challenge here is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know our work is not in vain. We are on a victory team. The Lord is our leader. And my challenge I leave with you and myself this morning is this thought and this theme of being sound in the faith. It's what's going to lead us to victory. It's going to lead us to be found looking, watching, and waiting when Jesus comes again. And we don't know when that is. So we all need to live expectantly, expecting our Lord's return. And I trust that we might be found faithful. But sure, as already mentioned, maybe Brother Irvin mentioned that. When Jesus comes, the question is, will he find faith upon the earth? I would like to answer that resoundingly. Yes, he will. I sure hope he will. I'm going to be a part of it. And my challenge to you is, I hope you will be too. You will be found faithful. But unless we have our roots down, unless we built on a solid, on the solid foundation of Christ Jesus, we might be tithering back and forth. And I don't want you to be that way. I want you to be on the solid rock, stable, a faith that is stable, concrete. It is going to last till the end. Let us pray. God, our Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's presence with us. I thank you for your word that we can have it today. We have been so blessed as a people of the United States. Our country is built on a good foundation because it's built upon truth. Oh God, I pray that our leaders of our country today, executive, legislative, and judicial branches, I pray there be a mighty moving of your Spirit, that they would be drawn back and they would recall, that your Spirit would lead them back to what our country is founded upon, that the enemy might be defeated in our nation, in our own lives, in our churches around the country, that the Word of God might still be free to flow, the truth might flow forth not only in our land, but that your Bible, your Word, might continue to be taught through the airwaves, through radio around the world. I thank you for the Heralds of Hope, how it is attempt to spread the gospel and spread the truth, as well as many other radio programs, TV programs. But most of all, God, I pray that your word might be anchored in our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we might experience victory today, that our faith, being rooted and grounded, might be unmovable. It will be appreciating and growing and increasing, especially as we see the coming of the Lord drawing near. I pray that all of us here today, we might be found faithful and we might have a sound faith that Jesus will be pleased to call us home into his heavenly kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I pray that we all might hear that testimony of Jesus our Lord. So we thank you so much this morning for our salvation that has penetrated our hearts and lives. And I pray, God, you'd continue to give each of us victory as we go from this place. In Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen.